This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the editor of the New Books Network. NBN listeners like to read books and buy them. So we thought we'd tell you that right now, our friends at Princeton University Press are having a remarkable site-wide sale. You can get 50% off books, including ebooks and audiobooks, with the code 50, F-I-F-T-Y, at checkout until May 31. You can save some real money on Princeton University Press books. I encourage you to go there and check it out.
My name is Heath Brown, and I'm really interested in how and why people get along and create great scholarship together. This is the Co-Authored Podcast, where we look behind the curtain and learn about how scholars of politics collaborate, one project at a time.
And, you know, in graduate school, I had a great mentor who said that, you know, if you can implement your survey at a washateria, you know, if people can understand your questions there, he used to always say that you should go practice your survey instrument in a washateria and see if you get weird reactions, right?
For decades, there wasn't a researcher to be found that tested their survey questions in the washateria. They should have. Professor Edgar Vargas of Arizona State University is right. What we knew about political behavior of Americans reflected a very different understanding of who the country was and was not. Take the example of one of the most important and oldest surveys of politics, the American National Election Survey, or ANES. The 1960 ANES, the gold standard of election surveys, asked respondents whether their race was white, Negro, or other. That's it. It did the same 10 years later in 1970, and each election through the rest of that decade. It wasn't until 1980 that the question expanded and changed to white, black, American Indian, or Asian Pacific Islander. And it wasn't until 1998 that the ANES added more detailed questions about ethnicity, and only recently have more nuance been added. Political surveys have had a problem. The field of political science really shared that problem. The design of the surveys could answer many sophisticated questions about attitudes and opinions, but could say very little in detail about how those attitudes differed by race and ethnicity. Here's Lori Frazier, one of the stars of this episode. She's a professor at the University of California at Los Angeles and a founder of the Collaborative Multiracial Post-Election Survey, or CMPS.
Well, before we had the 2008 CMPS, there was a great history of scholars who study race, focusing on one specific racial ethnic group, like the Latino National Survey, and a group of scholars coming together to pool their resources to pull off a phenomenal contribution to the study of race, the study of Latino politics, but focusing on one racial ethnic group. Before that had been the Black National Election Survey and other kinds of surveys that scholars of Black politics put on, but focusing on one singular group. We wanted an opportunity to move beyond just one singular study of one racial ethnic group, or maybe one or two. Oftentimes these surveys were in comparison to the behaviors or the politics of white Americans, rather than comparing across various racial ethnic groups like Black, Latinos, whites, and Asians.
And here is the second star of the episode and the second person in this collaboration, Matt Barreto, a professor who had been at the University of Washington and is now at UCLA with Lori.
In 2007, I had been doing some work with Ricardo Ramirez and Gabe Sanchez on some Latino politics surveys. We were sort of all assistant professors at the time. I was at UW, Ricardo was at USC, and Gabe was at UNM. all of us were assistant professors sort of early on, had a couple of publications under our belt, but really just sort of trying to find our way. And we were all interested in public opinion data and trying to create more relevant, more culturally relevant, more interesting questions, and to have a large enough sample of Latinos we could analyze.
When you've got this type of problem and you know a lot of people, what you do is all get together, pile into a conference room, and get talking.
I can't remember if it was a PREEK meeting that we had hosted at the University of Washington. I think it might have been. So Karthik Ramakrishnan had started the PREEK collaboration in Southern California, and then it sort of spread to the West Coast, and now it's really national. And I think that the University of Washington was hosting a PREEK meeting. And so Karthik was there, of course, and we made sure that the rest of the collaborators were all there. And I remember we decided to have an extra day meeting at the hotel, might have been in the hotel conference room. And all of us were together. We're talking about the project. How can we make sure we got enough samples? We looked at what some others at the University of Michigan had done a few years earlier. And, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing at that point.
They may not have known what they were doing, but they had a team. And it was a young team, most just starting their careers. But everyone in this team is so self-effacing. They may not have known exactly what to do at that point, but they knew a lot. Here's Lori again.
In 2008, the CMPS, the Collaborative Multiracial Post-Election Survey, was Matt Barreto, myself, Andre Hancock, who's at the University of Southern California, and Karthik Ramakrishnan, who's at the University of California, Riverside, Ricardo Ramirez, who's at the University of Notre Dame, Gabe Sanchez, who's at the University of Mexico, Janelle Wong, who's at the University of Maryland, and another researcher, Silvia Manzano, who's now works for Latino Decisions.
One of the things a lot of people don't know is that that first CMPS, all of us were assistant professors, and we put in a lot of our startup funds and just those initial pots of money that deans and other, you know, divisions on campus gave us to make that first project happen. So it was really, it had that same collaborative spirit from the start. We, instead of just wanting to do a project by ourselves, we really sought out that collaboration of others. And we wanted to make sure that we had people in a critical mass of scholars from different communities, from different backgrounds, different trainings. And that's how we brought the team together.
And this was a wonderful group of junior scholars, largely junior scholars, or those who are just on the cusp of earning tenure. But most of us were very, very junior. I was the most junior of all of the folks, having recently started a tenure track position at the University of California, Los Angeles.
Well, Lori and Janelle are talking because they're both in similar circles in Southern California. Lori comes over and has the idea of making this project much larger, much bigger. And then Ricardo reaches out to Karthik Ramakrishnan, who is at UC Riverside. And Karthik and Janelle, of course, are collaborating already on some Asian American projects. And so from there, we just started growing the team and getting people who would be interested and people who could contribute some of their startup funds. And, you know, so we just sat around this conference room in Seattle, sharing ideas, coming up with different plans. And my recollection is the whole time as we were sort of, you know, talking, it was Lori Frazier who kept saying, no, let's make this bigger. Let's do more sample. Let's add more questions. How can we make sure that every group gets the same sets of questions? You know, sometimes we were just sort of looking at her like we thought she was crazy because she has these big ideas. She always has really big ideas.
She is the driving force behind this. And I think that it's only a matter of time before this happened, but it would not have happened without these four individuals. And they will, I think, set the groundwork then for the next set of innovations in political behavior, voting behavior in particular, because we can now test many of the explanations that were hypothesized as a function of finding that a dummy variable on something like Black or Latino or Asian American made a difference, but we didn't know why. Now we can test that. And now we can develop it. It's about time.
That was Jane Jun of the University of Southern California. And everyone agrees with her that this was Lori. She pulled it all together. Yet when you talk to Lori, she takes so little credit. Everything in this is about the team, and a team that keeps getting bigger and better. So I had this big idea to field a survey that addressed the problem of election surveys that either didn't include sufficiently large numbers of non-white respondents or were focused too narrowly on just one ethnicity at a time. But how is it going to work? What would they actually do? Here's Matt and Lori again explaining the approach in 2008.
Ricardo, being in Southern California at USC, sort of served at least principally as the network or the glue for that first CMPS. So he reached out to his colleague, Janelle Wong, who was at USC with him, and she was very interested. And we said, hey, let's do Latinos and Asian Americans. We should do both of these groups. What we didn't know was that Lori Frazier already had plans for a smaller project in just Southern California, not just of African Americans, but she was already thinking of a multiracial project.
So it was a national survey, a telephone survey of registered voters. And our goal was to bring together folks who are interested, but study different aspects of racial ethnic politics, some who do Asian American politics, some who specialize in Latino politics. I was brought on as a scholar of African American politics. And we wanted to work together to do this telephone survey that was multiracial, multilingual, and do it after the presidential election. I do remember that the way we developed the survey and taking different, you know, being responsible for focusing on different parts, in my case, the questions that might impact Black politics, for example, that made it a little bit easier. You weren't responsible for every factor related to the survey. It was divided in a way that it was tangible. And that's one of the great aspects of good collaborative work. It was just a good feeling of folks that you trusted that their perspective. And even when we didn't agree on, for example, when we were putting together the protocol and working on the survey instrumentation, each group, the way we were developed was the Latino politics scholars, the Black politics scholars, the Asian American politics scholars brought to bear their question content. Well, that can get a little bit hairy because now you have to make decisions about the content that is left out or left on the cutting room floor. But because we knew one another and because we had a shared caring for one another and a respect for one another as scholars of racial ethnic politics, that it made it a little bit easier to understand where some of our questions maybe have to go to the cutting room floor.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At the heart of this was a commitment to working together, a collaborative of young scholars with just a little bit of money, but a commitment to sharing the burden to pull this off together. As in any collaboration, dividing up the work has been critical.
You know, anytime you do have a large project, you do need different people wearing different hats and following their own expertise and their own skill set. Because you don't want everybody doing the same job. You don't want everyone fundraising. You don't want everyone writing the survey. You don't want everyone programming the logistics of it. Sometimes I tell her, look, I don't know if we can do that. And Lori sometimes comes back and says, you know, well, let's find a way to do it. And so I go off and I spend a lot of time on the logistics. How are we going to implement this? How are we going to get the samples? How are we going to ensure that it's representative?
So Karthik Ramakrishna was definitely the taskmaster. He got us all organized and kept us organized during that first survey.
You have other folks like Janelle who have been just outstanding in making sure that the collaboration is expansive. So at one point when we were planning the 2016 project now, we did not have enough Asian American scholars affiliated with the project. We wanted more people coming in and buying in and being affiliated. And, you know, Janelle sort of put up her bat signal and reached out to her network. And really within just a couple of weeks, we went from no one to probably two dozen Asian American scholars from across the nation who were ready to jump on the projects.
With Matt, Janelle, Karthit, Ricardo Ramirez, Andrew Marie Hancock and Sylvia Manzano all together, each with a role, the work came together. But this all goes back to Lori. Lori is the one who everyone always has stories about, big stories.
And sometimes she comes up with ideas that are, you know, what we might think of as just undoable. And then she looks at me and says, now, how are we going to do this?
They figured it out. They did it. They fielded this major survey in 2008 and did a small one again in 2012, the first of their kind. And this generated an enormous base of knowledge about the political behaviors of a portion of the population that scholars never knew about in this way, with this depth and rigor. This generated presentations, papers, articles, and books, some that won awards. They created a multiracial survey through intense collaboration among a group of friends willing to chip in and work together. This is the Co-Authored Podcast. In this episode, we hear about the collaborative, multiracial post-election survey. Earlier, the team got together in 2008, fielded that first survey. A few came back together in 2012 to do it again. If the work stopped there, this would not be a remarkable collaboration. It is what happened next, which is why the CMPS is not just changing what we know about racial and ethnic politics, but how we think about collaboration itself and the ways scholars work together. But before we get to that, let's have lunch with Lori and Jane Jun, professor of political science at the University of Southern California.
And it really goes back to Pasadena, California. I was having lunch with Jane Jun.
I remember her pitching me. She was pitching me, trying to get me to donate, or not donate, to add on. And I was like, she came up to Pasadena to have lunch. We always joke about it. It's the turkey meatball lunch because we had turkey meatballs. Both of us were trying to avoid carbs. So we have turkey meatballs. Like, I don't know why we couldn't have normal meatballs, but we had turkey meatballs and salad. And we're done with lunch. And she says, so Jane, can I count on you? I'm like, yeah, you could have counted on me. You didn't have to drive all the way up here and buy me turkey meatballs. But yes, you can count on me.
And I remember I'm sitting at Pit Fire having turkey meatballs with Jane Jun. And we were talking about the election. We were talking about a variety of different kinds of research projects. And I was sharing with her that, look, I have about $30,000 left in my research account. And I know that that's not going to be enough to run a national survey. It's not even going to be enough to have a decent sample of African Americans in 2016. But we have to have a great sample of African Americans who are historically undersampled in large national surveys. And I was sort of saying that, you know, I really want to be able to pull together the folks back with the 2008 CMPS, or pull together a team of folks to do a large-scale survey in 2016. And so I was just sort of eating my turkey meatballs and talking about, you know, how can we get folks together to do something like this? And we had such a phenomenal team in previous years. And like Jane, like a great mentor, she's like, just, you know, do it. The team in 2008, just contact Matt and chat with him about it. And she said, I'm sure he's doing something with a group of scholars who study Latino politics around the 2016 election, and ask him if, you know, he'd be interested in putting on with the African-American sample as well. So we were just eating and talking about, you know, the need for, again, high quality data. And in this case, particularly around African-Americans who are historically undersampled in national surveys. So I remember on the drive home thinking about, okay, I'm going to call Matt and I'm going to tell him, pitch this idea and say, we need to, you know, bring the team back together and we need to, you know, figure out how we can move forward with doing a large sample in 2016, because we have to sample Asian Americans because we didn't sample them in 2012. And we have to have it in multiple languages. And I have all these phenomenal ideas. And this is such a consequential election. We have to do this.
Lori calls me up and says, hey, we need to do the CMPS again. And I said, you know, I'm collecting so much data. I've already got this project with Gabe. And she says, no, we need to do it collaborative. We could re-ask some of the questions from 2008. Look how much has changed. This is the Clinton-Trump election. And I said, well, what's your idea? And she pitches me the idea. Let's do Latino, African-American, Asian-American, white samples. And rather than just have an internal, you know, kitchen cabinet crew of eight people, let's open it up and let's just let all of our colleagues from across the country help us write the survey. I said, you're crazy. We're not doing that. Gabe and I are doing the Latino cooperative project. We've got a couple of people working on it with us, and we're moving forward. And it probably took her, I don't know, a couple of rounds of calls. At this point, she and I were colleagues. I was at UCLA. Calls and in-person meetings of her to convince me that we should do this. And so finally, at some point, I remember calling Gabe and I said, hey, look, remember the CMPS? Lori wants to, and Gabe, by the way, was one of the ones who had stuck with her in 2012. He continued to fund and work with her in 2012 on the CMPS. I said, Lori wants to do the CMPS again. I know we've already got this Latino project started. And he was immediately like, yes, I'm in. Let's do it.
They did it. But to keep going in 2016, they had to add more questions and more people. So new scholars joined the collaboration. Scholars like Edward Vargas at Arizona State University with big new ideas and ways to answer new questions.
We also have Edward Vargas at Arizona State University. And Edward and I collaborate a lot on Latino politics projects and Latino public health projects. And he's really just excellent at sitting down and writing the questionnaire. So oftentimes we task Edward and we say like, okay, just sit down and start writing questions. He gets the feedback from different people and he might just be there sitting there crunching away, writing questions. Some of them are brilliant. Some of the questions that Edward writes are just crazy. And I look at him and I think, how are we going to implement that? How are we going to ask somebody that question?
There's certain things that work really well in person. There are some things that are disasters all over the phone, so on and so forth. So, for example, the Black Lives Matters content, there hadn't been a lot of research questions that we could rely on to be able to flesh out the Black Lives Matter content. So some of that, for example, is trying to think through what would be the most common content that we can use across samples. So, for example, we have a Latino sample, a Black sample, an Asian sample, and a white sample, thinking through what would work for everybody. If you look at really old surveys, old by meaning the 70s, you'll actually find some beautiful like surveys and gems that are out there that were a lot more interesting and kind of in a lot of ways ahead of their time. In fact, we're circling back to those times. It's kind of an interesting era that I'm seeing in some surveys now. So I'm going back to the like old Chicano survey. You know, there are some really great gems that have been sort of proposed and done in the past. So I do want to say that while our stuff is innovative, I also want to tip my hat over to the folks that were doing this stuff originally.
You just can't get people on this project to brag. The selflessness, the respect for colleagues and elders in the field is a remarkable aspect of this project and must be related to this success. As Professor Vargas indicates, this is hard work, figuring out how to merge together these big ideas and a team that was growing and growing. And with that growth came some mistakes. Here's Lori talking about one.
Thinking about questions in 2016 that were not included in the survey, though we did our due diligence to try to have a broad and inclusive and innovative and creative survey instrument by bringing together a team of 86 social scientists across 55 different universities, 17 different academic disciplines that could bring to bear in 2016, a great survey instrument. And it was, again, in multiple languages, English, Spanish, Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese. We had over 300 questions on this survey instrument in 2016, and we still did not put what was, I think, one of the most consequential set of kinds of questions in 2016. And that was about racial resentment. And this battery of longstanding questions on racial resentment have been put on other surveys for decades now. We missed the mark. We won't do it again.
This was a problem, a little one. Yet the 2016 survey was a big success for this group. But they want more. They want it to be different, bigger, more ambitious, and to change the discipline.
If you look at the current CMPS from 2016 and just wait for the 2020 CMPS, we're going to have all sorts of different topics of questions, not just the standard bread and butter political science questions. We're going to have stuff that's coming from social psychology, from sociology, from LGBT studies, from ethnic studies, all sorts of different backgrounds so that we can make sure that we understand how people are navigating this crazy political world that we live in 2020.
And the four PIs for 2020 are the same PIs, co-PIs for 2016, which is myself, Matt, Janelle Wong, at the University of Maryland now, and also Edward Vargas, who is at Arizona State. So those are the four principal investigators. But in order to really make this 2020 CNPS be all that it can be and more, is to bring on oversample directors. So we're kicking it up a notch this time, and we're going to go to expand our overall sample from 10,000 cases to 20,000 cases or respondents. And the oversample directors will help us yield a sample of Latino, African-American, Asian, and whites, but also this time incorporating the voices of respondents who are Muslim Americans, Black Caribbean immigrants, Black African immigrants, Native Americans, Native Hawaiians, and the LGBTQ community.
This is going to be a big survey in 2020. But the larger impact really can't be underestimated. The CNPS is not simply expanding what we know about the political behavior of groups that have often been left out. It is also expanding who is in a position to know it. This project that started out in 2008 as a handful of colleagues at a set of elite university has grown to represent the full array of universities, big ones and small ones, HBCUs and HSIs, liberal arts colleges and community colleges, and the full array of researchers, from the most senior to the most junior. And that growing community has taken note. Here's Professor Christina Greer from Fordham University.
What I'm most excited about with the CNPS is that they have gone out of their way to make sure that very senior scholars like Diane Penderhughes are involved and full professors, and then tenured faculty like myself and Lori Frazier, assistant professors who are involved, and then also graduate students.
In this way, some of the lessons learned through this great collaboration is we can do more with less resources as we bring more folks into the fold. We're building this sort of great pipeline of scholars all around the country for 2020. In 2020, if you want to go big and you want to incorporate more voices, that means scholars from HBCUs, tribal colleges and universities, Hispanic serving institutions, people who are not at wealthy R1s or at Ivy Leagues. If you want to bring their voices because they have innovative question content that they cannot afford to collect on their own. If you want to bring their voices to bear, help them grow their research agenda, you gotta to step out a little bit.
This isn't how things were done in the past. This is a revolution in collaboration, in subject, but also method. The CNPS offers to change how scholarship is done, both the big surveys, but also other projects based on other methods and in other fields of study. This is a big deal for the study of politics and for the people who study it. This has been an episode of the Co-Authored Podcast. It has been produced by Sam Anderson and supported by the American Political Science Association, John Jay College, and the New Books Network. Thank you for listening.